Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Latin America, Venezuela. The Trump administration made very clear that Venezuela is led by a bully and a dictator who is illegitimate. His name is Maduro. The Biden administration has continued to that opinion. However, there are significant changes in Venezuela that require much more than just naming Maduro as a bad actor. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is here. And we're very pleased to welcome Elliot Abrams, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, chairman of the Vandenberg Coalition, as well as very well informed about Venezuela and about bad actors from outside the hemisphere, chiefly Russia. But Tehran is there, and certainly China is present always with a cash in its hand. Elliot, the news from Caracas in these last days, everybody was meant to see the news that the Russian oil minister was in Caracas to have discussions about development of re-energizing the Venezuelan oil fields with major investment from Moscow. Is this new? Is this building on something? Does this mean that Russia is now feeling at home in the Western Hemisphere? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Here is the problem. What Russia is building on is what the Biden administration is doing. That is, about a month ago, the Biden administration decided to listen to the pleas from Chevron, the oil company, and to start lifting U.S. sanctions on Venezuelan oil. So it was predictable that you would begin to hear from the French and the Spanish and the various Italian other oil companies, well, we want in too. And then, of course, the Russians as well. But it begins with the calamitous mistake of the Biden administration in abandoning U.S. policy, what had been U.S. policy toward Venezuela, abandoning the democratic opposition forces in Venezuela. And so, of course, the Russians want to jump back in, too.
Malcolm?
Do you see any benefit from the Venezuelan oil production really making a dent in the price of oil? And why not, you know, put the focus on domestic production rather than increasing Venezuela's capacity when we've been interdicting the shipments of oil to Venezuela?
This is the key question. It's really crazy. The administration has wanted from the beginning to go back to the JCPOA with Iran, and that would put more Iranian oil on the market. And now it wants to do this play with Venezuela. You know, at least in the case of Iran, you actually get some oil. In Venezuela, you know, over the course of, I'd say, 2 years, you might get 50 or 100,000 barrels additional on the market, which is nothing, you know, which is not going to change the price of oil at all. So I take it that this is in part ideological. That is, it's, you know, yet another example of whatever Trump did was wrong and let's undo it. In this case, what Trump did was right in siding with the opposition in Venezuela. And by the way, it was, I think, yesterday that Senator Menendez of New Jersey and Dick Durbin of Illinois, the Democratic whip, put out a very strong statement of support for Juan Guaido, the leader of the opposition in Venezuela. So the Biden administration does not even have a united Democratic Party in changing U.S. policy and abandoning the opposition.
Elliot, I want to watch Russia here because Russia represents an axis of very bad actors. And I mentioned some capitals here, but Iran comes with the heavy hand of the IRGC and other assassins. And that also introduces Hezbollah. You know all this, Elliot. You've worked on it for years. The Biden administration, do they have a plan knowing that the doors are open now to Eurasian aggressor?
Well, I think their plan, frankly, is to try to say that things are getting better in Venezuela so they can, you know, at the border, send more Venezuelans back. Do they have a plan to stop any of those bad actors that you mentioned? No. Iran is very active in the oil industry in Venezuela. You know, they have very heavy, thick oil. How do they dilute it so that they can sell it? They use the what are called diluents from Iran. That's where they get them. Their security services, their secret police, their spies, that's all Russia and Cuba. China has given them billions and billions of dollars in loans. So, you know, the world's worst actors are seeing in Venezuela an opportunity to have, you know, a place to enter the Americas in addition to Cuba.
Do you see China having a detour of the Belt and Road, focusing now on the vulnerability in South America, which puts them, the Russians, others, not thousands of miles away, but 2 hours from Florida, in a unique position to challenge the U.S.? Are they in the sea lanes? Are we seeing an increasing presence?
Well, you're certainly seeing an increasing presence of China in Latin America. I don't think at this point their key target is Venezuela, because they've lost billions and billions of dollars in Venezuela. But look at the constellation of leftist presidents in countries that have significant commerce. Chile, Brazil, now with Lula back, Argentina. These are countries that have economies, troubled though they are, and where I think you're going to see more and more Chinese efforts to displace the U.S. as the key trading partner, as the key lender, and of course, as a political influence.
You cite in your Politico piece that the Washington Post columnist Max Boot talks about more pragmatic policies towards Cuba and Venezuela. I stop there. What does that mean? How does that translate, Elliot?
Well, from the point of view of the Obama administration, which was the Obama-Biden administration, and now the Biden administration, what it means is ending our fierce opposition to those terrible repressive regimes. So, you know, Obama, forgive the language, kissed up to Castro in exchange for nothing, got nothing in terms of any kind of political reform in Cuba. In the case of Venezuela today, the statement by the Biden administration is, oh, of course, we're not going to do anything unless there's real political change. But I don't believe they mean it. And they are already beginning to lift sanctions. The line from the Biden administration in the last month was, well, there are going to be negotiations between the regime and the opposition, so we're going to start lifting sanctions. Well, they had one round of negotiations. A second round of negotiations is not scheduled. And this is really going to strike you. The opposition said, wait a minute, we're not going to go ahead. We're not going to do this. We're not going to sign anything unless we have a firm date for when round two of the negotiations is. Of course, the regime took the position, we don't need a firm date, we'll do it, maybe sooner. And the United States sided with the Maduro regime. And so, what do you don't need a firm date. Pulling the rug right out from under the opposition. I'm afraid to say I think we're going to see more of that. And as we mentioned with oil, in exchange for what? In exchange for amounts of oil that will have zero impact on the market. That's why I think it's an ideological position.
Malcolm?
Just very quickly on the Argentina update. You know, the plane, the mountain air plane that was in Argentina, is it still there? And what does this reflect in terms of the larger, with the governmental changes in South America, the larger role that Argentina might play in coalescence with Venezuela and its allies?
Well, you certainly see now the formation of a kind of leftist collective in a number of countries. You can start with Mexico, obviously Cuba, Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, but they're having trouble. You know, in Chile, they elected a left-wing president, but he's quite unpopular now, and the people turned down his very left-wing constitution. The part of it that's most worrisome is Lula in Brazil, because Brazil, obviously, the biggest economy, the biggest country in Latin America. So I really do fear that he will join with these others in an effort to diminish U.S. influence in the region and turn to others outside, like Russia and China. And we'll see if the Chinese, you know, with their own economic problems, are willing to hand out lots of cash. You know, 5-10 years ago, they were. We will now see if they still are.
And final question with just a minute to go, Elliot. There's a war in Europe. To my knowledge, none of the countries you mentioned just now have sided with the NATO and the U.S. in defending liberty in Ukraine. That opens a door to Russia. Am I overthinking this, or is that how Moscow sees it, Elliot? We just have a minute.
That is how they see it, and it's very striking, John, because for decades and decades, we in the United States could count on Latin American solidarity on issues like this, particularly in the United Nations, and we have lost it now. They abstain or they vote against us and with Russia.
Elliot Abrams helping us understand Latin America, especially Venezuela, right now. Elliot is at the Council on Foreign Relations as a senior fellow, as well as chairman of the Vandenberg Coalition, Malcolm Hoenlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bell.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.